What's going on, guys? Jack with Think Computers. This is the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, episode 66. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. Make sure to go to www.thinkcomputers.org/Amazon for all of your great shopping needs. And of course, Think Computer Bob is here with me. Or I'm with him, if you want to say that. How are you doing, Bob?
It is, it's weird to have somebody else start the podcast, I would say.
It felt weird because I feel like there's so much expectation on me.
I know. That, I don't think Derek has ever started it either, which is weird.
Yeah, you should let him do it next week and see how it
goes.
He's
always scared, though. He's afraid. If people will notice, you have the radio voice. Like, your voice carries.
I think it's okay. People say that. I think my voice is okay. But yeah. Thank you. I do appreciate that very nice compliment you have given.
But the reason Jack is on here is because Derek is on vacation in Colorado? He's been like all over the place, though.
Well, he's driving from Michigan to Colorado. Or he drove from Michigan to Colorado.
Yeah, and I think he's riding his bike, right? Or not to Colorado, but when he gets there, he plans on riding his bike, right?
Yeah, he actually posted a photo today on this lovely Friday. Happy Friday to everyone, by the way. Of him riding around Colorado. So
nice. I mean,
there you go. Yeah, he and his team are out there. They're doing a race.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we're all in Vegas for CES, that was supposed to be like his training or part of the training.
Nice. But you guys almost died.
He almost died that day. Yeah. Poor Derek. Shout out to Derek. He was freezing, but granted it was probably like about 40 degrees out there.
Yeah. Yeah. They all went bike riding and from what I've heard, they almost died.
Yeah, we ended up calling like an Uber and a taxi and everything, and there was no cell service, and it was a whole fiasco.
That's crazy.
And then we ended up just riding back though. Like the taxi came and we're already riding, and he stopped. He was like, "Hey, he stopped on the side of the road. Like, hey, you guys wanted to call the taxi? We're like, yeah, but we're just going, and we just kept riding.
That's crazy.
It was brutal, but we made it. Anyways, what's going on, man? Let's talk some tech.
Yeah, so we'll start off with our reviews this week, and we have two pretty cool reviews. The first product is the Thermaltake Core X31, and Thermaltake launched their Core series at CES this year, and it's crazy because like this time of year we see all of the products that were released at CES or that came out at CES. So the Core X31 is their basic mid tower in the Core series. It's a great case, and the one thing I really like about it is it's extremely easy to build in. So many times with cases, they're just a pain to build in. I think over the past couple years, Thermaltake has really made it a point to make it extremely easy to build inside their cases. And the entire Core series kind of follows that motto, I would guess. And this case is great. Very big for a mid tower. And it's actually wider than most mid towers because it gives you quite a lot of space behind the motherboard tray to route all of your cables, which I like. I hate having, even some of the newer cases these days, a lot of companies really do a good job, but it's just much larger than anything else out there as far as the space back there. So if you're like me and you're lazy and you don't want to tie up all your cables, you really don't have to with this case, which is nice. This case has a ton of room inside for water cooling. You can fit a 360 radiator up top and a 360 in the front. So more than enough room for water cooling there. And the inside of the case is fully modular, which means you can take everything out if you want. So if you want to make room for all that water cooling, if you're only going to use maybe like the SSD bays, you can take all the other hard drive bays out. You can remove the optical drive bays as well to make room for more stuff. It's actually really cool case, extremely easy to build in, as I said. And I believe it's only $100, which isn't bad
either.
That's
a good price point too. Yeah.
I believe I'm gonna double check here, but it's $100. You really can't go wrong at that price point. You're gonna get a great case. It's gonna last you a very long time. Again, very easy to build in, and I didn't really have a single issue with it. The only thing, and this is extremely nitpicky, I would say, is that the cable ties or these weird cable organizers that came with the case are complete crap. If you would pull on them, they break. They're just really bad quality. Most of the time, we see the typical cable ties with all of these cases. And for some odd reason, Thermaltake is using these extremely cheap ones, which if you do plan on tying something up, get your own cable ties. That's the only downfall of this case, really.
It looks like I also see that you measured the space between the motherboard and the the back of the case.
Yeah, I believe it's about
a little over an inch and a half there.
Yeah, it's a little over an inch and a half. So typically we see an inch. So having that extra half an inch really does make a huge deal. Again, if you have thick cabling, this is just easy to, you know, it's, you don't have to tie anything down really, which makes insulation easy, especially for a first time builder. So
yeah, I've ended up leaving the side panel of my case, the right side panel, completely off because I got tired of like trying to mash all my cables and make them neat and everything. So I just leave that whole panel off now, and I put my computer against the wall, so you don't notice it, you know.
yeah. So they make it really easy. Like I said, besides just if they had better zip ties, this would have been pretty much a perfect case. Their entire core series is all designed the same internally, so you can mix and match parts if you have the same cases too, which is kind of cool. So definitely, if you're looking for a case in that price range, that's one I would definitely recommend. So definitely check out the review. And I took a look at a gaming keyboard, which means I was actually able to do some gaming this week, which I usually never have time for. So I took a look at the Steel.
Did you play some Payday?
I did not. You know what happened? Okay, so I would continue to play Payday, but then I did that thing where you go Infamous or whatever it is, and you basically have to start all over.
Oh, so you mean it's kind of like, what's it called? Like prestiging or whatever.
Yeah. So like, I was like, I lost all my stuff, and like, I had my person, like my guy set up perfectly, and then I kind of like lost it, and I was like, I don't want to redo this all.
Redo all that again. Yeah, it's not
fun. Because you have to, it's basically like leveling in any game, you have to do it all over again. And I just wasn't, I wasn't about that life.
Yeah, like I've been, for whatever reason, I still play Titanfall, and that game's what, like a year and a half old now or something like that. Maybe older. And it's like I refuse to go to the next level, or it's what's it called, to like re up with my guys at prestige, because I don't want to unlock all my add ons and my, you know, all that stuff. Like I don't want to redo it all.
Yeah, so that's kind of like made me like fall out of that game, because that, like, as you know, we all played together. Like that's one of our favorite games, and it just, if I knew that was gonna happen, because I kind of didn't really even know what that even meant when I did it. I was just like, okay, this is like moving up even more, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so kind of made me fall out of love with that game. Yeah. But
I mean, we could play. We could level you up real quick, you know.
It'll take a while to get back up to 100 again.
I mean, to 100, yeah, but you can easily get to like 50, 60.
Yeah.
You know, with us running and then everything, you'll be fine. Anyways.
Yeah. But back Steel to series. The Steel Series is the Apex M500, and this is kind of like their no-frills gaming keyboard, and surprisingly, these style of keyboards are extremely popular, especially in the esports crowd, because most esports players don't really care about crazy backlighting or RGB lighting or anything like that. They just want something that works, and that's a solid board, and this is extremely solid keyboard. Pretty basic design. You do get the full number pad, but besides that, no extra buttons, nothing like that. No macro keys or anything. It features Cherry MX Red mechanical key switches, and it does have blue backlighting, which you can control. And it's just a solid keyboard. I mean, it's going to perform just like any other keyboard that has Cherry MX Reds, which are preferred for a lot of gamers. But it's just a solid keyboard. And one thing that's really nice is that over the past year or so, SteelSeries has unified all of their gaming software into one thing called their Engine 3. So if you say, if you have a SteelSeries mouse and a SteelSeries keyboard, that you can get them to work together. It's all in one unified system, which is nice. And the software is really great. You can completely remap the entire keyboard if you want. You can set up live macros, as far as like you can remap a key on the keyboard to be like a macro record, so while you're in game you can actually record macros you know, on the fly, which is kind of nice too.
That's cool.
You know, it's just a solid keyboard. You know, there's not many companies that are making these as far as just like a no frills esports keyboard. There's really not, because all these other companies are trying to sell a lot of these keyboards, so they're putting the crazy lighting, they're putting all these extra keys and things you may not need. This is just, again, no frills, just a solid gaming keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, it's a basic keyboard. There's no extra keys on this, like, at all.
Yeah, nothing super special about it, but it's as far as performance, and that's the biggest thing when it comes to these boards, performance is really, really good. You know, and for $100, I can't say, you know, that's a, you know, between 79 and 100 is where you're going to get for non-RGB backlit basic gaming keyboard with Cherry MX red keys. The one thing I didn't like is that, you know, a lot of gaming keyboards, you get the choice of what Cherry MX flavor you want. And for some odd reason, this one's only available in red.
Is blue the only color for backlight too? I mean, I know you can't change
Yeah.
But I mean, do they sell other colors or?
No.
No. So it's Cherry MX red switches and blue backlight or blue backlight, whatever.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of like a downfall. I especially think only having one type of switch is a downfall because, you know, if you like a certain switch, it would be nice to be able to pick. You know, a lot of these gaming keyboards, you can buy a Cherry MX red, a Cherry MX brown, a Cherry MX blue. You know, those are the main big ones right there. And it's just, you know, if I'm a huge fan of Cherry MX blues, those are my favorite. Because I do a lot of typing, and those are great for typing and gaming. And if they made this keyboard in a blue, I'd be much happier. But I can't get it in a blue. It's only available in red. So that's kind of the only downfall of this. But again, for $100, you really can't go wrong. It's a solid gaming keyboard. It's going to last you a long time. And again, the software is really great. So a lot of times we see a lot really good keyboards, but the software is kind of horrible. Really good software there as well. So I like it. So definitely check out the review. And if you're looking for a new keyboard, this is one you definitely should consider if you like the Cherry MX Red switches. So we will move on to Case Mod Friday. And Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. We've been doing this for, I would say, at least 2 years now. So we have
Case
a ton.
Mod Friday. We need like a cool intro for that.
Yeah. I know. So this is the thing. It's like it'd be way too hard to do like... I would have to like push a button for like the thing to come in, and then like
sound effect to blow,
we would have to get like the sound effect to like be recorded because of weird recording software. You know what I mean? It'd have to be like.
I think you could do it. I think it'd be possible.
Yeah. So anyways, this week we have this is the first build that I've seen in this case, and this is the Inwin 805 Infinity, and just this case by itself is amazing. We covered this case at CES. You got to see it firsthand, right?
Yeah, Derek and I saw it.
I didn't get to see it in person, but I saw your video, and this case is beautiful by itself, and it's great to see a really good build inside of it as well. The guys from OzMods, they did it just a simple build. It's nothing crazy, and I think that if you did something super crazy in here, it would really take away from just how beautiful this case is.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just a simple build, single graphics card. It is all water cooled, which is nice. But it's just a nice clean build. And I think again, the beauty of this, if you haven't seen the Inwin 805 Infinity, it's an amazing,
Yeah, case. It's a cool idea. You know, when everybody saw it at CES, everyone stopped and was like, "Wow, how come it's never been done before?" And people really liked it, so
yeah,
which is cool because now it seems like at the time Inwin wasn't sure if they're actually going to put it into production or not. You know, they were saying like, "Hey, this is just kind of like we're testing the waters right now at CES with this case," and I think the result was really positive. So
oh yeah, for sure,
yeah, which is awesome because it should be made, and I think a lot of people want it. Derek said he would buy it, so
yeah, I think I would buy it too. It's something that. You're going to put this anywhere and people are going to look at it. It's just,
exactly.
It's going to be one of those things. And again, it's good to see just this nice, simple build in here. And honestly, there's not a whole lot of modding, I don't believe, in this. The only real thing that's more advanced in this is the hard tubing because you'd have to bend that yourself. But everything else is just basic water cooling in here. Just an LED fan on the back. Basic water cooling, some lighting inside, and that's it.
The little, what's this, 1, 2, 3, 4, the little hexagons. I don't know if you're looking at the photos or not, but if you're looking at the photos, photo 5, with the hexagons, the hexagon lighting. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Is that part of the case, though?
I don't.
Because that's like an Inwin type of
thing. Well, whatever it is, it's awesome.
Yeah, so, that's really cool.
And how they, if it's a part of the case or not, however it's lit up, how it's done on this build is really, really cool. So
yeah, the build just goes together. Like it's just
it matches right. Really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. And if you, for some odd reason, don't like this, we have a full section on Case Mod Friday. We have a ton of mods. So if you're looking for inspiration, you're maybe looking, oh, what can I do? I'm buying these parts. You know, we have a ton of builds in there, from basic builds like this to really insane builds as well. So definitely check that out. And this is the last week, or the last couple days here, of our Zalman Z9 Neo case giveaway, which we announced 2 weeks ago. Extremely simple to enter, guys. You don't have to do hardly anything. All you have to do, there's two ways to enter, because we're giving away two cases. You go on YouTube, we link the video in the contest post. You go to the video, you write a comment. That's it. That's all you have to do. It's probably the simplest thing ever. And you're entered on Facebook. We ask you to like us in Zalman, and you share and like the post and fill out our entry form. Again, extremely easy to do. Not hard at all. So the contest ends the 29th. So you have 2 days from when you're hearing this podcast. If you're listening to this after the 29th, sorry, but you missed out if you didn't get your entry in. But again, great contest. Thanks to our friends at Zalman for that. So pretty excited, because we haven't done a giveaway in a while. So this is one of the first ones. We're going to do a nice lot. Too. That's a nice case. We reviewed it about a month ago. So definitely get your entry in if you haven't already. And news this week, and I think the big news this week is there's a lot of video card stuff going on. And I would say the biggest story of the week is that we've got some information on NVIDIA's GeForce GTX 1080 Ti. Now, we already know that NVIDIA announced their GTX 1080 and GTX 1070. We talked about it extensively over the past 2 weeks. And everybody was really wondering, okay, so there's always a Ti card. That's always how NVIDIA does it. And what's that going to be based on? Well, you know, if you remember back when NVIDIA had their big events, they announced the GP100, and that's their super big chip. That's their super high-end chip that was introduced with the Tesla P100. And the Tesla P100 is a workstation card. It is a high-end card, basically used for servers. It's not a consumer card whatsoever. So the Tesla is based off the GP100, and the GTX 1070 and 1080 are based off the GP104. So that gives a pretty big gap, especially when it comes to features and cost and everything. So NVIDIA is going to introduce the GP102. And the GP102 is targeted at the high-end consumer-based graphics cards. So it's definitely going to power the GTX 1080 Ti. And we will see if it's going to power the next Titan, whatever the Titan's going to be called. And it's going to be 33%, or it's going to have 33% more cores than the GP104. That's the exact same thing NVIDIA did when they announced their GM200 and the GM204. So they're kind of following the same thing here. But it's really interesting, because we don't know if it's going to use GDDR5X or it's going to be like the GP100 and use HBM2. That's kind of like the big question there. And if it does use HBM2, what the performance difference is going to be between the GTX 1080 and the GTX 1080 Ti. If it's going to be a huge difference or just a little bit, I guess we'll just have to see. But it is interesting, because we had not heard about this chip whatsoever. A lot of people thought that the 1080 Ti was going to be based on the GP100, a cut-down version, but apparently that's not happening. So that's really good, because the GP100 is just way too powerful, and it's way too costly to be a consumer-based card. So kind of good to see that. I don't know. Would you buy a 1080 now, or would you wait for the Ti?
It just depends, man. You know, I need to get that new computer going for my Oculus setup going. To happen in a couple months here.
Yeah.
So it just depends, man. It's like, I was actually talking to another friend about this last week. And, you know, we were saying, like, we're thinking early 2017 is when NVIDIA is going to kind of hit with, like, the heavy hitters on their new lines. And it's just like, dude, I need a computer now. But at the same time, I kind of want to wait, too. So.
Yeah, because if you.
It's difficult, man.
If in fact the 1080 Ti uses, say, HBM2, you're definitely going to see a much higher performance increase over the 1080.
Right.
You know, so it's, oh man, that, yeah, you are in a tough spot, I would say.
Yeah, it's like, this is the worst time for like VR launch. It's like, either put me on one side or the other, not like right on the line type thing. So I don't know. I mean, it'll work fine either way, but it's like, dude, if I'm going to build a new computer right now and I'm going to do it for VR, it's kind of like, I want to make something awesome and I don't want to be out awesomed in 4 months.
Yeah, you know? And the it's thing like,
give me
too,
a year or something.
You want something that is going to last you several generations.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, but that was the big news this week. It's good to see that we have the 1080 Ti on the horizon, because all the announcement of the 1080 and the 1070, everybody was wondering, you know, when's the 1080 Ti? What's, you know, this is the first time we've actually heard information on it. So it's pretty pretty exciting. If especially people, you know, somebody in your case who's kind of waiting.
Yeah, right.
But we will go back to the 1070 here. And the big thing that when the 1070 was announced, NVIDIA said it was also faster than the Titan X. And a lot of people were like, really? Because this card's supposed to be 329.
Yeah.
And the Titan X is 600 or something like that. And how can that be? You know, we're just jumping a generation and just this crazy performance increase. But 3D Mark scores that were leaked here reveal that it is, in fact, faster. And it's about 3% faster than a Titan X, which is pretty impressive considering this is the lower-end performance
basically
card.
Basically, like half the cost. Yeah, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
And
yeah,
half the cost. So that, I think that is amazing. It's great to see. I think this is going to be the card that's really going to propel NVIDIA and definitely make them a ton of money. Just like the 970 was. I think the 970 was a card that I think still on Steam, the 970 is the most popular graphics card it was of last month. So I think the 1070 is going to be that card too, because 329, you're not necessarily breaking the bank.
Right. Yeah, it's totally affordable.
You know, and you're getting, and you're going to be able to play anything out there, at least at 1080p. And you're going to be able to play a lot of stuff at 4K as well. So I think that's great. I think that's really awesome.
970 also is still the most popular video card according to the Steam hardware survey. So
yeah, so
I just looked it up. Yeah.
Yes. So we'll move on to the other side, which is AMD, and we haven't heard a whole lot of information on Polaris at all. They're kind of keeping it under wraps. We'll definitely hear next week at Computex, but there's just not a ton of information out there. But possible R9 480X 3D Mark 11 scores were leaked. And it's kind of, it puts you in a good mood about AMD. At least one of these cards that were tested scored better than a Titan X. So that puts you in a good, you know, at least we're going to see the good performance that the 1080 and 1070 were showing. We're going to see that on the AMD side. Still, we don't have any concrete, you know, because these are just GPU names. So it's like 670 FC7. We don't know what card that's going to be. You know what I mean? We really don't know what that's going to be, but we can definitely see some good performance in there. So we'll see. I think when AMD they're having the big event at Computex, we'll see the performance here. So, but it's just a waiting game. I hate waiting for all these things. It's just like I want to know what's coming out, and you want to know the performance, and you want to know how it compares. And it's just I hate the waiting game.
Yeah.
So a bunch of GTX 1080s, well, at least two big three, I would say, big GTX 1080s non-reference cards were kind of pictured and leaked this week. The first two come from Zotac, and in my experience, Zotac is one of the best when it comes to their Amp Edition cards. And they leaked their GTX 1080 Amp and GTX 1080 Amp Extreme. So we have photos of these. And these look pretty much like what we saw with their 980 and 980 Ti cards. Not a whole lot of difference. The new things that they've added here is their new Spectra technology. Basically, on the shrouds, you have these, you can see them on the shrouds, they're like these white pieces. Those will actually light up in their RGB, so you can change the color to whatever you want. These will also have their new thing called freeze, which basically turns the fans off when the card is idle. That not only saves you power, but of course, just you don't need the fans, especially with the new cards. But these are pretty cool, and they have the full backplates, which I like. And I don't think they're ugly, because Zotac, at least in the backplates, has been pretty ugly. These look pretty cool, and you could definitely match them with some different components as well. So definitely some cool stuff in there. And then the second one comes from EVGA, and this is their superclocked GTX 1080 superclocked ACX 3.0 edition. And this is the first time we've seen EVGA go with a different color design. It's basically been black for the most part with them. So they've gone actually with a shroud that has a lot of white accents on it. And I think for them it looks really good. The backplate is actually pretty cool too. And the side says EVGA GeForce GTX 1080. It lights up white by default, but you can go to the software and it's RGB, so you can change it to any color you want as well. Both or all three of these cards should have factory overclocks, which is going to be the big thing that we're going to see a lot of Computex. All these cards will have factory overclocks and custom PCBs and all that kind of fun stuff. And these are the first ones that were released. So a lot of people are definitely excited about these cards. I definitely want to get a 1080. I don't know which one I would want to get yet, though. There's so many out there.
Yeah. Both of those are good options, man.
The Zotac ones. Usually with Zotac, like their Amp Extreme is like one of the highest overclock that you can get. So those are usually really, really good.
Yeah, we'll see once all the specs come out, you know.
Yeah, Computex will probably see all custom cards from all the big manufacturers, so it'll be exciting to you know, see what's going to come out. So talking about, we were talking about VR earlier. You are getting an Oculus. When did your Oculus come in?
I think July. I think originally it was June, and then they pushed them all back a month, so I believe it's July now.
Okay, so it looks like MSI is tinkering around with the idea of a backpack gaming PC, and this is one that would essentially run on batteries, which is doesn't seem like you'd get a whole lot of playtime. I guess if it's anywhere, like I guess it's gonna be powered by some type of laptop graphics
card. If it's like that, then you're gonna get decent, or you should get decent battery.
A couple hours, I would say. You know, so they're tinkering around with this idea of a backpack PC that's made for VR. So the biggest drawback with VR is that you're kind of tied into the PC that you're playing on. You can't walk around. You can't free roam, I would say.
Right.
So with this, the whole idea is that you have this backpack that you connect your VR headset to, and you can basically free roam around, which seems dangerous. You know, because you're not like getting, like, let me just go walk down the street while I'm in VR. You know?
Hey, that'd be pretty cool, though, because you could, like, the laptop could use GPS and stuff, and you could do, like, map street view. You know what I mean? And you could be walking around, like, a map street view.
That would be cool.
With your VR headset on. I don't know why it'd be cool, but it would be funny. Because, oh my gosh, you never have to leave VR. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, so, basically, they're tinkering around with this whole idea, and it's going to be powerful. It's going to be powered by desktop-grade Core i7 processors and the mobile GeForce GTX 980. That's likely going to be replaced by the mobile 1080, which will be the 1080M when it comes out. So, again, the whole idea is less cable clutter and all that kind of stuff. It's a cool idea. I think that VR is definitely here to stay. I think that
You got to use VR, man.
No, but I know. But what I'm saying is I think it's here to stay. I don't think it's like this fad. I think a lot of people are really using it, and it's definitely the next big thing.
All right, cool.
I'm still not – I'd rather just game on my, you know.
Right. Nobody really knows yet how long, like, you can game in VR for and be cool. Like, does it get boring? Does the headset get hot? You know what I mean? Questions like that. But, I mean, just experiencing it, it's pretty amazing. That's why I need this.
And it's cool to see companies come out with products specifically for that. This is the interesting thing, is that MSI is taking R&D time and all this stuff to develop this product. So, I think it's cool. I think it would be a really cool thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. They're supposed to.
It's not too heavy, you know.
That's the big thing too. They're supposed to show it, or at least give us more information. I don't know if they're actually going to have a unit there, but they will give information about it at Computex. So it's pretty excited to see that next week and see what the whole deal is with it. Maybe if they actually have a working one, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think they will. I think they'll have some type of demo.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned next week for that. Another big announcement this week, and this is a first, and a lot of people don't think this is super exciting, but this is kind of crazy, is that G-Skill did an overclock of DDR4 5000. That means that they've got their Trident Z, which is really great DDR4 memory in general. They got it running at 5 gigahertz. That's faster than processors.
Right.
And that is crazy, and that's a first. I think that's amazing. I think that all these overclockers always push the boundaries of all this kind of stuff, and it's just really, really cool to see them do that and to see them keep on breaking records, especially when it comes to memory, because a lot of people see all these OC records for CPUs and they get real excited, but I think the memory is actually pretty cool too, because it's actually harder to do. So 5 gigahertz is pretty crazy. They did it on an MSI Z170i Gaming Pro AC motherboard, and of course the G-Skill the G-Skill Trident Z memory. So it's pretty cool. And it it broke the world records for I'm trying to think, what are the two world records? I can't think right now. two world records that they did break here. So that's actually really cool.
Looking at world record points, global points, hardware points. Sorry, I'm just looking through the post.
Yeah, it says the world's top 7 frequency records are now dominated by G-Skill. Okay, yeah. So the G-Skill, again, if you're looking to overclock your memory, they own the top 7 world rankings too, which is awesome.
Right.
Their memory. So I've tested their memory extensively. It's really good stuff, and you can really overclock it too. So if you're looking for new memory, definitely check it out. But it's awesome to see break 5 gigahertz. That's just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
5 of the top 7 are all Trident Z. So
yeah.
That shows. I mean, they're all G-Skill, but that's that specific model. So
yeah, that's definitely really, really good memory.
Yeah.
So I don't use optical storage. Do you still have an optical drive in your computer? You probably do.
I have one, but I got one for a good reason. But I don't use it. Used it once. I bought a Blu-ray drive. It was like $25. I used it once for what I needed, and then that was it.
Yeah, so I haven't had
I don't support optical drives anymore.
In my main PC for a good while now. The biggest thing that you need an optical drive for the most part has been in the past install an operating system. That's just, you know, buy right. Windows, and that's just what you get. And now, you know, Microsoft has made it, especially with Windows 8 into Windows 10 now, they've made it extremely easy to make an image, or they even provide the images for you that you can download, and you can just get Windows installed. So, you know, not many people are using optical drives. It's not really, unless you're like making CDs or making Blu-rays or whatever.
And nobody does that.
Yeah, nobody does that.
Well, if you do, you shouldn't. I'm sorry. Anyone out there, if you're doing that, you should not do that.
Yeah. So, anyways, what we're getting to is Toshiba Samsung. That is TSST. That's a joint venture between Toshiba and Samsung, known as Toshiba Samsung Storage Technology. They have stopped production of optical drives. And this is a big deal because they manufactured all of the optical drives under the Samsung brand, and they did a lot of OEM stuff. So all the OEM drives and Toshiba products and Samsung products were all made by this company. So it's like times are changing. They're finally getting to the point where they're like, we're not making any money.
We don't want physical media anymore. Get this stuff out of here.
Yeah. So I haven't used physical media in a very long time.
What's going to, all right, this is kind of off the wall, but not completely. But, you know, they all, like Samsung has Blu-ray players too, like standalone Blu-ray players. I imagine people are still buying those, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Derek is a huge fan of Blu-ray He buys Optical Media. No clue why.
I'm sorry, Derek.
I get it if you have the to you take advantage of it as far as like audio, because the high end audio isn't on, say, streaming content, I don't believe, right?
I don't think it is yet. No.
Yeah. So I like
Netflix, maybe. No, I'm not sure. I'm looking.
Yeah, I don't think. And he is, again, we make fun of Derek. He's not here. We're making fun of him, but he loves Blu-rays. He buys Blu-rays. He's a Blu-ray player. I have no clue why.
Well, he always says the quality is better, and it definitely is. I mean, bit rates are way higher on Blu-ray discs than they are on streaming. But I mean, I don't know. It's like, I guess I don't watch enough movies where I really care. It's like, if I'm going to sit down and watch a movie and stream it, it's usually good enough for me. And I mean, I have a 60-inch TV. Like, I have a good setup, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm not, like, again, you and I are both tech guys, and like, that's good for me. I don't need something super crazy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But it's good to see the times are fine. No, I guess it's not good to see, but it's good to see they're coming along where, you know, these companies are finally getting out of this, and that they should be doing what we've been doing for years, is that they just don't use optical media. There's so much easier, faster ways to do things.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So that just leaves LG Hitachi, which is their joint venture. That just leaves them making optical drives in 2017. So that's
that's pretty huge, man.
We'll
that's
wonder huge. How long that will last. I think that those guys will stay in business just because there's a lot of end of life type stuff that you still need some optical drives for, but not a whole lot, I would say. So talking about Computex, which will be next week, which will be an insanely busy week for us. CryoRig is going to be announcing two cases, and these will be their first ever cases. And if you know anything about CryoRig, they really do a great job when it comes to their products, not only just designing the products, but their product marketing and everything around their products. And every CryoRig product that I reviewed, which have all been CPU coolers, have been amazing. They work great. It's like they thought out every little thing. Every little problem that can go wrong, they thought it out before they created the product. So hopefully that follows through with these two cases. So the first one is the, I guess you would call it Ola?
I would say that, sure. Yeah.
Ola? I wouldn't would call it Ola, I don't think.
No, I think Ola.
Okay, so it's OLA is the product name. And this is a cylindrical case, definitely modeled off of the Mac Pro. If you're familiar with the Mac Pro, this is basically like that. And this is the first time we've seen a big company do this. We've seen a lot of Indiegogo and Kickstarters for cases like this. This is the first time we've seen a big company do it. And for being their first PC case, they're definitely taking a risk here. Because usually when a company gets into the PC case market, it's like they start with a simple case and kind of go from there. This is pretty depth. So it's a cylindrical case that can support a full-size graphics card and a mini ITX motherboard, which, of course, you would need something small like that. It looks really cool. Don't know a whole lot about it, but it looks looks like it will work pretty well. And I'm excited to see the quality of the actual case. Because that's a big thing when it comes to cases, is the quality. But this will be shown at Computex, so we'll definitely have all the information next week. And their second case is the, what would you say, Taku?
Maybe Taku?
Taku?
I'm going to go with Taku.
T-A-K-U.
Yeah.
And this is also really, really cool. This is an ITX PC case that has a more like modern kind of look, but it also doubles as a monitor stand, which I think is pretty cool. And this could not only be used as a regular desktop that has a monitor stand, but also maybe like some type of media thing where you can use the PC as a stand for, a bigger display. Mm-hmm. And this also supports longer graphics cards. And it sort of has like this, and from what it looks like, it has this tray that pulls out that has all your components in it. Really good design here. For their first two PC cases. I'm really excited, again, to see what these really look like, and it'd be great if we could get some of these into review, because I'd be really interested to see how these work.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And look. But we'll definitely have all the details next week. These are going to be shown at Computex, and they will have full demos of both of these cases. So we'll have all the information for you guys next week. And our last story of the week, which is sort of a letdown for a lot of people. So last week we talked about Aura. That is Google's modular phone project, which we've seen for the past 2 years. Last week, at the end of last week, they announced that they're going to have a consumer version, hopefully shipping in 2017. And early this week, it was, you know, after interviews and all this other kind of stuff, it came out that this modular phone won't exactly be fully modular. You're not going to be able to swap out the CPU, RAM, or main display, which kind of makes it not modular phone. The concept's great, but I think that if you want to upgrade one of the main parts in that you can't, it's just, I guess a lot of people, mm-hmm. and me included, I thought this was going to be, I can upgrade any part of this phone. Right. And now that I can't,
not the case.
Yeah. Now that I can't, it kind of, you know, just, this is a little disappointing because again, if I want a super, super crazy fast processor and I don't care about anything else, that's the module that I want. You know what I mean? Right. It's kind of sad to me. And I think a lot of people are let down by this. A lot of people are saying maybe that's what, you know, just to get one out there, they need to do it this way. And then maybe like a version two, everything will be modular. Not sure yet. But it is definitely a big letdown. And I think that, I believe I read a TechCrunch article where they said this is completely dead, because of this. So, we'll see. We'll see if it actually comes out. They said they're supposed to ship dev units in the fall, and then the consumer one will be available in 2017. So we'll see.
I think it all depends, man, on what kind of like pieces you can actually put on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like phone, as far as phone development goes, I think it's really like stagnant right now. You know, mm-hmm. phones can't get too much thinner. They already got bigger. They pretty much do everything people want now. But if some like third party can make a module for this thing that is totally different, then that could like, you know, like revigorate sales again. They could like keep things going.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought was super cool about this, is because you could have, you know, it's an open device, so you can have any developer create a cool module. Or it's like we were talking before we started the podcast, like if I'm a photographer, maybe I'll buy the super ultra expensive camera module, right?
Right.
And I really won't care about anything else. Or, you know, I'll buy some, what's like a crazy, not GPS, but like something else that's like super crazy that I can put on there, like a different antenna type
right.
deal.
It has to be something we haven't thought of, though. That's what I'm saying. It has to be something crazy that changes the game, and we haven't even thought about it yet.
And I love that idea, and I love how, you know, all these companies can, and there can be businesses based around this idea.
Right, exactly.
But the fact that I can't upgrade my CPU, I can't upgrade my RAM, or change the main display, that's disappointing to me. Because say I'm a gamer, right, and I want this awesome, crazy display, you know, I can't do that. I have to, whatever they put on there, I have to use.
For the most part, like, displays and phones are relatively good anyway, you know what I mean? So
yeah, but it's just like, you know, certain, everybody wants to design their own or pick their own.
Yeah.
And I can't do that, and that's
maybe just, maybe they'll let you say, like, you pick a base model, like, oh, I want, you know, I don't need a powerful phone, but I want a really nice camera. So it's like, I'll get the, like, less powerful phone, and I'll buy a really expensive camera. Or say I want it all, and I can buy, like, the third tier phone that has, like, a bigger, better processor in it or whatever. Maybe, like, you buy that skeleton, and then you mold that skeleton.
Yeah, that's what I think they would do. And that would be the smart move to do it that way, is there different tiers of things. Because I really think that the whole module business would be amazing, and I think we'd see a lot of really cool things getting developed for it. Mm-hmm. It's just that I hopefully Google does it the right way, where people actually want to buy the phone, because nobody wants to buy this thing. There's not going to be another market for all these modules. They're just kind of a letdown. We will see how it goes. Again, 2017 is when this is supposed to have a consumer version, so we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. And that is basically it for this week. Coming up next week,
a lot of news.
Next, next week is Computex. So we're going to be focused probably 90% on news. That's the main thing here is 90% on news. So we're only going to, even sometimes we don't guarantee reviews, but I'll be working on two reviews over the weekend. The first one is the Synology Disk Station DS216. That is their dual bay NAS. And I'm really excited because from what I've heard, I have a Synology router. I heard they work really well together and you don't have to really do much to get them both to work in sync, kind of. So I'm really excited to see how those two will work together, but I'm really excited because I haven't reviewed a NAS in an extremely long time. I did the WD one, but that was one that was already put together with the drives. This one I installed my own drives and it's up and running. So
yeah,
it's kind of like, it's a cool thing. It feels like you kind of accomplish something when you put something together and build it. So I'm really excited to take a look at this. And from what I've heard, Synology has the best, software and operating system on their NAS devices, make it extremely easy to use. And for me, I'm not a network guy at all. I like things to be easy as possible. I think a lot of other people do as well. So I'm pretty excited to fully test this and see what it's capable of and all of that. And I'll also be taking a look at a really cool outdoor speaker. And this is the Braven BRVX. And this is their really, really big Bluetooth speaker. And it's perfect time to review it because
I think my friend has one of these, actually.
It is getting into summer and we want to be outside. Yeah. And this is a very, very large speaker. It's a $200 speaker, so it's not cheap. And it's completely waterproof. It's IPX7 waterproof. And it's shock absorbent. It has a rugged design. It's really, really cool. It has a 5,200 milliwatt amp hour power bank in it as well. So you can charge your device. Very heavy duty. I've listened to it. It sounds really good. We reviewed the, I think it's the BRV1 from Braven a little while ago. And I was not impressed with the sound quality. This is much better sound quality. Obviously, it's much bigger. Especially, and it should sound much better because it is a $200 speaker.
Yeah, my friend actually, he does have the speaker, and we use it like every weekend.
Yeah,
you know, when it gets late, say we're playing poker or whatever, and we don't want music too loud, but you want to hear it, like you want to still listen to music. You know what I mean? We usually bust this guy out, and we're just waiting for the summer because we're gonna throw it in the pool like every day. So
yeah, that's what's great about it, and like you know, this is just it's kind of sucks when you like buy a Bluetooth speaker and they break, and that just happens.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Bluetooth speakers, especially the ones that are under $100, are not waterproof. They're not really shock absorbent. And it's any type of electronics that you throw around or anything like that, they're gonna get broken. Especially, you know, in a product like this where you just like kind of throw it in a backpack sometimes. Things easily break, and this is one that won't. It's really heavy duty, and I like it so far.
Quality is nice on it, definitely.
Yeah. So definitely stay tuned next week for that stuff. And that is basically it. I think you did pretty good on this podcast.
It was a lot of information.
This is the second time you were on here, right?
Yeah, this is my third.
Third. You get the CES one, yeah.
Yeah, including CES, yeah.
Yeah, you should try to come on more often.
I mean, you should invite me on more often.
Well,
but you guys... Fridays, I'm usually busy. This is an exception.
Yes.
Usually, you know, I'm out and about on the Fridays.
Yes.
But we have a little exception this week, so.
Yeah, so.
I think that's why it usually doesn't line up.
Also, we talked about it for the past 2 weeks, is that we did completely redo the website. And I would say it's about 85% of where I liked it. I still haven't done a blog post on it because it's just not 100% ready. I feel that it's loading good. I feel that it looks good. It's just it needs some more tweaks. So definitely bear with us on that. If you do like it, if you think it's good, definitely let us know because it took a long time for me to do it to get it working.
I like it. I like how it's a lot wider. You get a better view of all the photos. The text is larger.
Yes.
For reading articles and stuff. It's great. I like it a lot. It's a good choice.
Yeah. So also at the end of each podcast, we talk about if we did anything fun during the week. Did you do anything fun this week?
This week?
Yes.
Gosh.
Guess not.
Well, I mean, I do so many fun things, dude. It's hard for me to like look back and be like, oh yeah, that's like cooler than normal, you know?
Yeah.
This week, I don't think so, dude. I think I just worked this week so far. What did I do last weekend? It's a real question.
I don't know.
Last weekend, I was busy last weekend. I went to Nobu last weekend.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It looked good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first sushi I've ever had.
Was it Nobu?
Yeah, in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, because
early, you know?
I know, because, okay, so this is before I even met you.
Yeah.
Is that it was like, I think it was like first year, it might have been, I think it was first year CES. First time in Vegas, like, I'm completely blown away. And my buddy John, he's like, dude, Sony's having a party at Nobu, let's go. I'm like, I'm not on the list. He's like, we're going. He's like, we're just going to go.
Yeah,
so he got, so like, we just like, conned our way in there, and it was at Nobu. It was like, open sushi bar.
Oh my gosh.
And like, I had never had sushi in my life, and it was amazing. And that's like how I fell in love with sushi. And it was at Nobu, and I was like definitely spoiled for the first time.
Yeah, no, so. It was pretty awesome, man. We ran up quite the tab, but it was worth it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good food. Yeah. Sometimes people complain about expensive food. I feel that good food is worth it.
I don't honestly. I'll be honest. The bill was like $430 or something like that, or $440. Yeah. But we had six people.
That's not bad.
Yeah, we had six people, and we ordered stuff like crazy. So we ordered like two bottles of sake. We each had like two or three beers. Two people ordered shots. Then people had like espresso martinis, and then people on normal list. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Every time our waitress, every time she came to the table, we ordered something else. We had appetizers. We had six rolls. You know what I mean? Like, just it was ridiculous, man. I never seen so many drinks and food arrive at a table in my entire life. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
and it's like
it was affordable. I thought it was fine. You know, what
it's
I mean?
An experience too. It's just like
you know, exactly. It was totally worth it. Everyone had a great time. Our waitress was awesome.
Now you're making me hungry.
It was really good, man. It was really good.
So I didn't really do anything like that. I won. The Penguins won, so we're going to the Stanley Cup Final, which is pretty exciting.
Nice. Are you going to try to go to a game?
Dude, they're like $1,000 tickets. That's like a lot.
It is. I mean, I was lucky enough to go to a Golden State Warriors game when they played Portland.
Yeah.
We had box seats. It was pretty cool.
I have a lot of friends that have season and they all sell theirs too. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, I would love to. I just think that I can much better spend $1,000 on things. Otherwise, that like,
well, let's just hope maybe you meet somebody like a friend who's like, dude, just come with me to the game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
so we'll see. But like it's a very exciting time. We haven't been to the final since 2009.
You're like, that's forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great for the city. I'll be very, very pumped. Game one is Monday, so I'll definitely be doing be watching that for sure. And then I've been skateboarding a lot. I fell last week, I think.
Yeah, you did.
Pretty bad. Yeah. I've been working from a coffee shop, and then I skateboard like from my car to my car. And then like down to like this marina and stuff, and it's actually been a lot of fun, and it's like another mode of transportation that I didn't really know existed, because like when I skateboarded before, it was like solely to do tricks and stuff. Like this is like this takes me places, and it's actually pretty cool, and I've gotten pretty good at the longboard, so I'm pretty pumped.
Nice. Yeah. No, I mean, I cycle a lot too, you know, or Derek and I both do. Derek
Morgan. Yeah. But it's fun because I need to get a bike, you know? I think.
I don't know. I mean, if you're, it's the same idea though. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's like skateboarding, cycling, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just that feeling like, hey, I know I can ride 25 miles, 30 miles pretty easily, which is cool. That's a far distance. You know what I mean? And it's like, I know if something happens and there's only a bike, I can make it around the city without.
Yeah. And it's nice, you know, because it is like, I know it's not like really exerting a lot skateboarding, but like it is better than.
That's still work.
It's better than driving, parking right in front of where I'm going and getting out.
And you're working on like balance and stuff too.
You're
working a lot of stuff. Yeah,
so that's cool. So I haven't broken anything yet. Knock on wood on that one. And so yeah, that's basically it, guys. As always, we will have a full show notes page that has the links. So as we're talking about these things, you can definitely check them out on all of your podcasting platforms. Think Computers, all one word. Till next week. Catch you guys later.